If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augusta that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. God, we ask your hand to be upon us right now. God, help us, Lord, as we try to preach this, God. Move me out of the way, Lord. Let all the praise, all the glory go to Jesus, God, because, Lord, I can't do anything within myself, and I know that. Have your hand on us right now, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Everybody, just about, even to the lowest, the youngest of our children that can talk and have been around, they could tell you what's at the nativity scene. Well, I thank God for this. We have probably one of the prettiest nativity scenes I've ever seen in church. The way they've got it fixed up. And I don't know if you've ever come into this church, and I know these deacons, have you ever come into this church at nighttime, all the lights are all off, and that thing is lit up? I'm telling you right now, to make you want to shout. Don't you notice just a few things by introduction about the nativity scene? The angels worshiped him there. The shepherds worshiped him there. The wise men worshiped. And even the animals on their way worshiped him there, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 19. But when we look at the nativity scene as it is, we know that it is not exactly as it was the night that Jesus was born. Okay? We understand from studying the Bible that the wise men came about a year later. Amen. The Bible says he was a young child. He was in a home. He was not in a stable. So I'm not fussing about the nativity scene. I'm just telling you it's not exactly as it should be historically. But I want to preach a little while this morning on this thought. Who we don't see at the nativity scene. Who we don't see at the nativity scene. First off, we don't see the unconcerned. Verse 1 through verse 6 tells us that Caesar Augustus and Cyrenius was governor. Matthew chapter 2 tells us about the wise men going, but it also tells us about King Herod and the religious crowd. Matthew chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says this, When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. So what we have here, we have the lost, we have Caesar Augustus, we have Cyrenius, we have also, we have the religious crowd that's unconcerned. They're not worried about it. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, 38 says this, But as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. They were unconcerned. The thing about it is, if you're unconcerned about his birth, you're unconcerned about his coming back. How many of us today are unconcerned? How many people do we know today are unconcerned about this time of year? A lot of times, if we're not careful, all we hear is, I'll be glad when this is over. I'm sick to death of all this Christmas stuff. Let me go ahead and tell you something. Had it not been for the baby being born in a manger, you would not have Calvary, amen. Had it not been for Jesus Christ coming down and taking on the flesh and blood like he did, he would not have been able to go to Calvary. Thank God for his birth. Thank God for Calvary. Like she sang that song. Hey, that's where he proved his love. So don't you be one of them that's unconcerned this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. If we're not careful, a lot of us as Christians, I wouldn't doubt that there ain't some in this building right now that claim to be Christians that's really not saved. Unconcerned. Well, we have the unconcerned there, but also we have the unmoved. We're not at the nativity. The Bible tells in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. John chapter 1 verse 11 says, he came into his own and his own received him not. We have a woman having a baby. They have traveled, Brother David, for miles and miles and miles and miles. She has rode this little donkey. We have a husband that's probably worried to death about his wife. He is stressed out beyond measure. And now they come into this place. She is great. She's getting ready to have this baby that night. I don't know how many of y'all ever been around a lady that was getting ready to have a baby that soon. It ain't good. I mean, I don't know, but Skip, maybe her water had already broke. I'm talking about, but there, the Bible says there were no room in the inn. Now, let me just go ahead and tell you a little bit. I was going to read this, but I'll just go ahead and tell you a little bit about this. Back in that day, inns were not like what we see today. It was not like the Ramada Inn or anywhere like that. What this was, there was a place, there was a structure, and in that structure might have been a few rooms, but on the outside, there was probably a big area where people could just come in and have safety. In other words, they could just come in inside the gate. West, they could close the gate. They could have safety. Don't tell me there was, you say there was no room in the inn. Hey, what about his room?
Yeah.
What about his room? I don't know about y'all, but if I'm out there and I see a lady getting ready to have a baby and I see her husband worried to death and she is great with child, let me tell you something, somebody's going to get kicked out and they're going to get ushered in.
Amen.
But they were unmoved. They didn't care. The Bible says in the end times that iniquity shall abound, that the love of many shall wax cold. How many of us have got our hearts hardened tonight or this morning because of sin? We've got our hearts so hardened. I mean, we walk right by that one that's asking for a little handout because we're saving up money to buy a Christmas present. We walk right by that one that ain't got nothing. And we were talking about this a little bit yesterday morning. We walk right by that one that's lost their job and they've lost everything. And we're trying to save up enough money to buy our kid a special little Christmas. And I'm not knocking Christmas. Now, I'm just telling you, sometimes if we're not careful, we're unmoved. Because of the troubles and the trials that we all see, and because there's so many scams out there, let me go ahead and tell you something. I tell you to pray about it. You do what God tells you. Have you ever seen somebody, and I know we've talked about this before, have you ever seen somebody that was standing asking for a handout, asking for something, and then you go by, and God say, you got to go back.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. I've done that. I've done that. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I've done that. But we cannot be so unmoved that we don't see the need. At Christmas, you don't see none of them around the nativity. They were there. Clint, they were in the vicinity where Jesus was born. And they didn't move. John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment. That ye love one another as I have loved you.
Wow.
I wonder if Jesus would have given her his room.
Yes.
I had this hit me in the face yesterday after I'd studied this and prepared my notes and everything. I had this hit me in the face. And so I had to make some phone calls. I had to make sure. When was the last thing that moved you? Think about it. When's the last thing that moved you? It's Christmas time. We ought to have love in our hearts. We're more joyous. We're in more of a giving mood if we're giving to the ones we want to give to. Amen. I knew it was going to be quiet on this part. The unmoved were not there. The unbelieving were not there. The Bible talks about it in Luke chapter 2. Let me read verse 15 through verse 18. And it came to pass, and I had never thought about this, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. In other words, they didn't waste no time. They were, hey, we're going to worship Jesus, amen. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now listen. When they left that little stable, they were telling everybody. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those which were told them by the shepherds. Understand something. While it was told to them, they heard it and they wondered about it. What does that tell me? Someone had witnessed to them about the Savior. They heard the message. What was the message? They can't say that they ain't never heard it now. You can't say nobody ain't never told me about it. They were told, they heard, and then they pondered the thought. They're on the streets of Bethlehem. Can you imagine? Maybe he went right back. Those shepherds might have went right past that same inn where there was no room. And they might have opened the gate and said, hey, there's a little baby been born. It's the Messiah. It's come to save the world. They heard the message. They were told the message. They wondered about the message. But you never see them at the nativity. How many of us in here have been told and told and told? How many people over the years have been told and told and told? But you never see them in church. Oh, you can get on Facebook and see all kind of pictures of people that used to go to church. And now they got alcohol in their hands. If you don't want everybody to know it, don't put it on Facebook. If you put it on Facebook, they get mad about somebody saying something about it, you're an idiot. Amen. That might not be a biblical term, but that's good preaching. I don't get it. I'm going to be honest with you. Alan, I didn't get saved the first time I heard the message. I'll be honest with you. I was told the message. I heard the message. I pondered about the message. I thought about it over and over and over again before I got saved. But thank God they did come a day. People didn't quit. I'm telling you right now, I don't believe these shepherds, when they left that stable, I don't believe they just did it for one block, Brother Mike. I believe they did it all the way back. I believe they were telling the sheep. They were telling the donkeys. They were telling anybody that would listen. And that's how it is when you get saved. That's is when you come in contact with the Savior, glory to God. You want everybody to know about it. You want to tell everybody about it. How come some of us have cooled off? The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 10 about a rich young ruler that did nothing. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6 says this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Acts chapter 6 verse 31 said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. You got the unconcerned, you got the unmoved, you got the unbelieving. We're not there. But also you got the unchristian Christian. As I was thinking about this and studying on this yesterday, Matthew chapter 2. Verse 3 through 5 says this, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. You know what blows my mind about this, Melvin? They had the word of God right there with them. They knew what the word of God said, Brother David, and you never see them. You have wise men show up a little over a year later. You have wise men show up. I'm talking about these were, when we say wise men, these were scholars. These were smart people that showed up. They come to Jerusalem. They come into the king's house. They said, tell us where the Messiah is at. Tell us, we've had a star that's been, we've been following. Tell us where the Messiah is being born. And it shook up the king of the Jews. It messed him up. So he called all the religious leaders in. So what's going on? Tell me about this. And they tell him, it's written in the prophets. And nobody does nothing. Nobody moves. Somebody said one time, gave a little illustration, said this here rich businessman, I was talking to Mark Twain. He said, you know, he said, one of these days, he said, before I die, I'm going to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and I'm going to climb Mount Sinai and read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top. Mark Twain said, why don't you just stay in Boston and try living by them? Amen. How many copies of the Word of God do you have in your house? How many times have you been told about Jesus and about getting saved and about getting right with God? And you know it's the truth. I don't doubt that these men, Brother David, I don't doubt that these scholars, these Bible scholars that King Herod brought in, I don't doubt that they didn't believe the Scriptures. But you never see them at the Nativity. I just wonder, as I was thinking about this, Ronnie, I just wonder, how many of them thought that they had made it? I'm where I need to be. I am on the scheme. I am on the king's list of religious leaders in Jerusalem. I am here. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. Ain't none of us in here as good as we think we are. Amen. Ain't none of us as good as we think we are. The Bible says, for all have come short of the glory of God. The Bible says we've all sinned, amen. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. They have the word of God, but they did nothing about it. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 talked about the town where he was going to be born. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 talked about the virgin birth. Numbers chapter 24 talked about the star that was going to be there. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 talked about the government was going to be him. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 talked about he was going to be from the line of the king. They had all that and did nothing. How in the world do we think we're going to be without an excuse? You had the unconcerned, the unmoved, the unbelieving, the unchristian, and the unholy were not there. The wicked. Herod the Great. Do y'all realize he gave himself that name? Herod the Great. He had, do y'all realize that this was an evil man? Now, I'm talking about evil. We talk about how bad King Jezebel and Ahab was. We talk about all that. This was an evil man, Skip. He had his wives and kids killed because he thought they were going to try to take his throne. This is an evil man. We're talking about somebody that when he, Brother Ed, was dying, when he got to the end of his life, Brother Tony, he went out and had 70 religious people killed so that there would be crying and weeping in Jerusalem when he died. This is the same man, if you go on and study in Matthew chapter 2, let me just read what the Bible says. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. He went out and killed thousands of babies because he thought that a baby was going to take his throne. This is an evil man. Wicked. Y'all do realize that's the same one that Jesus come and died for. Amen. Amen. That's the same one he came and died. Jesus came and died for the abortionist. Jesus came and died for all those doctors that go out and perform abortions. Jesus came and died for everybody that's ever had an abortion. Jesus came and died for the drug addict. Jesus came and died for the drunk. Jesus came and died for the whoremonger. Jesus came and died for all those that were laying in a ditch somewhere that didn't have enough sense to do what's right. That's the one Jesus came and died for. Jesus died for all those like Adam Lanza who walked into a schoolhouse and killed like 20 some children. Jesus came and died for that man. Jesus came and died for Charles Manson. Jesus came and died for Jeffrey Dahmer. Jesus, hey, you say, preacher, I ain't in that category. Oh, yes, you are in that category. If you lost and on your way to hell, it don't matter what you do. Jesus came and died for you. Let me ask you a question. If you'd have been living in Bethlehem a little over 2,000 years ago, would you have been at the Nativity? Think about what I just asked you now. Some of us say, oh, yes, sir, I'd have been at the Nativity, and you can't even come to church on Wednesday night. I'd have been there. I'd have made that trip, preacher. Is that right? Think about it. Would you have been at the Nativity? Well, go ahead and think about it. We've all got the Word of God. We've all got the church to come to. We can come anytime we want to and hear the preaching of God's Word. We can come to Sunday school and hear the teaching of God's Word. God's given us all we need. God's given us everything that we need. God's the buy you multiple copies of God's Word in your home. Would you have been at the Nativity? See, the question is, heaven or hell? That's the question. These wise men, if we go back and study it, traveled thousands of miles to get to Jesus. No telling, Brother Tony, no telling what it cost them to get to Jesus. We was talking about this yesterday. Salvation won't cost you a dime. You listen to me. Salvation won't cost you a dime, but heaven's going to cost you the world. We got to get our priorities back in order. Amen. The wise men had their priorities in order. The shepherds had their priorities in order. Heaven or hell, folks. Heaven or hell. There's going to be, you're going to one or two. There ain't no such thing as purgatory. There ain't no such thing as no in-between. Let me tell you something. If you die, I can't pray you out of nowhere. But you can make sure before you leave. Sharon, can you come back and sing that song again? Born to die. I want you to bow your heads with me. I don't know what you're going through, but I know she didn't know what I was preaching, and I didn't know what she was singing. Question yourself right now, would I have been at the Nativity?